Says here. It says, and God hath set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healings. Right there in the middle of all that's one little word. You see that? It says helps. That's a gift that God gives. Governments, diversities of tongues. Now, I want to teach a lesson this morning on the gift of helps. And I want to say this, first of all, and you'll see this in your introduction, that help, if I'm going to help somebody, it means to benefit someone else, to further the advancement of, a source of aid that you might give somebody. It's one who is in the service of, and it means to assist another. Now, in our day and time, it really seems that nobody desires or brags about or preaches about the gift of helps. Now, you'll hear all kind of things about speaking in tongues and wallowing around in the floor and acting like you're crazy and the gift of prophecy and performing miracles and be ye healed and, you know, send me some money in and I'll send you free of charge a pen that says a sucker's born every minute on it. That's what you got. You got Benny Hinn and that stuff on TV, and people's eating that stuff up. Amen. And which I'm not going to go into a doctrinal teaching on that, about how that those gifts, that tongues and those sign gifts are not operable for us today. I don't believe that. I believe you're wasting your time thinking about that stuff and trying to get that stuff. There is, however, a gift right in the middle of this that is very, very needed in a church. It's needed in a local church. It's needed in the body of Christ. It's a very good gift to have. But the problem is nobody wants to preach on this gift. Nobody wants to talk about this gift. This gift is not a desirous gift. And I'll tell you a little bit about why it's not here in a moment. But I'll tell you this. In my opinion, this may be the most needful yet least desired gift in the body of Christ. I cannot think of a gift that can benefit a local church while helping the pastor like this gift. It's a great gift. And I want you to understand this, first of all, and we're going to pray here in a moment, we'll get into this. What I've decided to do to describe to you what I believe the importance of having this gift of helps and just being a help in your church, I've used an acrostic, and I've taken the word helps, and I've taken each letter in the word helps, and I've used a word that I think it takes and going to be exemplified if you're a person that has the gift of helps. And you're just a help. And I'm probably jumping a little bit ahead of myself this morning, but I want to say this. We've got it in our mind in the local church that if I'm not a preacher, if I'm not a teacher, if I don't play an instrument, if I'm not a leader, if I'm not up here on the platform or whatever, then I'm insignificant and I'm not part of the local church. And really, that is so far from the truth. The matter of fact is, what good would it be to have the best preacher in town if you ain't got nobody to preach to? And by the way, you couldn't keep that preacher if you folks didn't ante up like you was just doing a while ago. Well, see, we don't think about that stuff. We think about, well, I don't have a significant position in the church. Sure you do. Sure you do. It takes all of us. You know what New Hope Baptist Church is? It's not the piano player. It's not the preacher. It's not the teachers. It's not a deacon. It's not this. It's not that. We, all of us are New Hope Baptist Church. And one of the greatest things you can do for New Hope Baptist Church is to just be a help. You cannot have a functioning New Testament local church without people in it that are just behind the scenes doing something, being a help. And many times we don't even, you know, I've said this before. I think some people think that there's just a magical church fairy that goes around and does all this stuff. Like when you come in here this morning when it's hot and the air conditioning is going, and you came here this morning, you didn't have to beat on the door and say, let me in. The doors were already unlocked. The lights were already on. The air conditioning's blowing real cool in here. And I think some people, because they just get here right at the last minute, and I won't preach on that, they just get here at the last minute every Sunday, you think there's a magical church fairy that just floats around and they're just doing all this stuff. You know, how you like that? That's not what's going on. There's a bunch of Christians in here behind the scene that are not preachers, they're not teachers, they're not up here on the platform, they're not doing anything like in the limelight or the spotlight, but they are behind the scenes keeping this thing going. And you never know it. And we need more people with that gift. We need more people just being a help in the church. And I tell you where it's going to make a difference. You say, well, you know, a man, who cares what it means in man's eyes? You know, a lot of people that seems real significant and seem to really be doing something in man's eyes, they're not doing anything in God's eyes to begin with. I tell you where it's all going to come out now. I tell you where it's all going to come out about you being a help, and it's just as important as a preacher or the teacher or the musician or anybody. I'm just a help. I'm just a lowly help. Well, you get up there at the judgment seat of Christ, and let's see what the Lord thinks about it. When you get before the judgment seat of Christ, and I get before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to tell you something. I think in that day when God puts down his heavenly gavel and says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you're going to see a lot of preachers, some of them that's been preaching for 40 and 50 and some of them maybe 60 years, and you're going to see these folks over here, they never preached a sermon, they never pastored a church, none of that. And when they step up at that judgment seat of Christ, they're going to have more rewards than that preacher did. You say, how can that be? I tell you why. They were a help. They weren't called to preach. They were not called to go all over the world and minister to the world and be an evangelist. They were called to be a help in that local church and to do something in that church and do something in that community for the glory of God. And they did it to the best of their ability and actually done a better job than that preacher over there that went everywhere 50 or 60 years. And when they step up at the judgment seat of Christ, they'll get more rewards than that preacher will. You say, do you believe that? I believe that scene will unfold somehow in heaven one day by the multitudes. I do believe that with all my heart. Now notice this. I want to show you a few things and we'll get started. Look over here in Romans chapter 16. Now you know what Romans 16 is? Romans 16 is the who's who of Rome. Paul goes down through there in Romans chapter 16 and he starts mentioning people by name that are important people, and he's greeting them and he's speaking about them. So I just call this chapter, and these right here, he's listing the who's who of Rome, the spiritual who's who. I mean the folks that really need to be mentioned, really need to be made notice of. But I want you to notice a couple of times he mentions people. And what's their claim to fame? He mentions them because they're just a help. Notice here, first of all, Romans 16:3. Notice what he says there. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Do you see that? In Christ Jesus. He didn't say my preachers. He didn't say they went all over the country on these missionary journeys with me. You know what he said? He said they were my helpers. And again, there's another fellow over here named Urban, and he says, salute him, or say hello to him, shake his hand. Say, how you doing, buddy? In verse number 9, salute Urban, our helper in Christ. That's verse number 9. So a couple of times, Paul thought it's so important that when I start listing the who's who of Rome, and I start giving my salutations and greetings and all, I want to tell you at least three people, this Urban, Aquila, and Priscilla, there's three people that I want to mention to you, and the thing I want to mention to you is they were my help. They helped me. They were helpers. All right? Let's look at this acrostic here this morning. Now, if I'm gonna have the gift of help, so I'm just going to be a help in my local congregation, what will that involve? Well, the first letter in the word helps is H, and I think about the word humility. Humility. And I want you to go ahead and take your Bible and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts, chapter 27, because we're going to look at a verse here in a moment. Go ahead and be turning to Acts, chapter 27. Now, if you have the gift of helps, it's going to take humility. You know why? Because as I was just saying, you're not going to be the giant slayer. You're not going to be in the limelight. You're not recognized like the leaders. One of the person I think about the most that fits this thing is my wife. Now, my wife is my helpmeet. By the way, that's biblical. That's what the Bible says, that you're, when you get married, ladies, you are a helpmeet to your husband. Now, I don't want to turn Sunday school sour here, but it may be fixing to take a nosedive. But do you realize in your marriage and the way God fixed the thing is that you're said to be his helpmeet? He's not said to be your helpmeet. Amen. I know this is difficult. I'm fixing to preach on the fathers and them loving their wives and all that. You women are really like this message that's coming up in the morning, but just listen to me right now. You were created to be a help to him because, listen, ladies, this ought to help your feelings. You really don't need much help. He needs a lot of help. You're supposed to be a help to him. You're his helpmeet. That's biblical. You're to meet him with help. And some of you women are going, amen, my husband needs a lot of help. But I think about my wife. Listen. And women don't want that role in the marriage now. They don't want to be a helpmeet. They don't want to be a hurtmeet. I'm going to get off that quickly. But I'm thinking about my wife. Listen, To be a help, it takes humility. Now, if you look at me and my wife, in every way possible, she surpasses me. She's a very nice looking lady. I look like I fell out of an ugly tree and hit every branch. She is very, that's an intelligent woman right there. She's smart. I'm dumb as a box of rocks. I mean, she's organized. She gets everything done. I'm a mess. She takes care of me, and she has to do everything because I'm basically helpless. You know, pretty much. She's the main one in the marriage. However, her role in the marriage is to be a helpmeet. Her role is to help me. When she signed up to be a help to me. Even though she's working and she's doing all this stuff and whatever, her number one thing is to be a help to me. Now, if you don't realize this, but when I come in here to preach, a lot of why I'm able to have clothes on and have my notes typed up real good and all that kind of be organized and know where I'm going next Sunday and all that, it's because of my personal secretary. She's a helpmeet to me. But you know what always happens is, oh, Brother Dennis, thank you for that message, Brother Dennis. Oh, we appreciate that. Oh, Brother Dennis, you helped me shaking my hands. And pastor's recognition day, and they give you a pastor appreciation day and all that stuff, and they talk about the preacher. They don't never talk about the wife. You know what she is? She's a help. And I could not preach and teach and do anything if it wasn't for her. But in order for her to fulfill that role, she has to be humble. She can't be up there and say, well, why don't they recognize me? They don't even know that idiot wouldn't even be able to be here today if it weren't for me. I always want to give him something. Why don't they give me something? She will get something. Now, not if she has that attitude, but she will get something at the judgment seat of Christ. She'll get more than her husband. She'll get more than her preacher husband that everybody knew and loved and, oh, you helped me and thank God, I'm glad to hear you preach and blah, blah, blah. She'll get it because she was a help, and that's the role that God put her in, to be a help. But it's going to take humility. See, a lot of people don't want to not have the limelight. A lot of people don't want to not have the spotlight. A lot of people don't want to not have, we want to be noticed. We want to be important. Now, we don't give a rip if God notices us. We don't give a rip about what he said. We just want to be noticed and go up through the ranks in man's eyes. But I'm telling you, one day when the dust settles and the smoke clears and we all stand before God, all that's going to matter in that day is what did he think about our life? Not anybody else on this earth. What did God think about my life? How does God scale my life in accordance to how I lived it? So it's going to take humility. Look at this thing over here in Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Now this is where Paul gets on the voyage, gets on the ship, and it's fixing to have a bad shipwreck here. And he's talking about something here in Acts chapter 27, verse number 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps. Talking about the ship. Notice the plural there, helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. Now the word helps, I'm talking about helps in the plural now. It only shows up two times. It shows up over there in 1 Corinthians 12 that we just looked at. This is the only other time in your King James Bible that the word help shows up. And you know what it's talking about? It's talking about them using ropes and chains to steady a ship and to keep it from cracking up under the stress of the storm. Now listen to me, now I don't want you to miss this. They would take those ropes and they would take those chains and it would go all the way up under the ship to hold that hull together, to keep that ship from cracking up and busted up when it would be in a storm and the waves were hitting it and rocking it and the wind was blowing. But this is the thing I want you to understand about that, this word helps. Much of it was being done out of sight, underwater, in the dark, murky water. What those ropes were doing and what those chains were doing and keeping that hull together, man couldn't see it. You know what man saw? We see the captain of the ship. We see the nice sails of the ship. We see the nice, all the quarters of the ship. Boy, it looks so nice and looks so pretty. Yeah, but the ship's going to bust up and go into 1,000 pieces when the stress of the storms come, and you don't even know what's holding it together. What's holding it together is something insignificant you don't think about, nobody brags about, and you can't even see it. It's out of sight working down there in the deep, dark, murky depths of the ocean, holding this thing together. And the Bible calls that thing helps. It takes humility to be a help, and many times what you'll be doing as a help, nobody even knows what's going on. It can't even be seen. But I tell you who's seeing it. I tell you who's seeing who's really holding the ship together. Let me tell you who's really holding the ship together. I'm talking about the local church. A lot of times it ain't the preacher, and it ain't the teacher. It's some older, gray-haired women that's been in this thing for 40 and 50 and 60 years, and they have a prayer ministry where they're constantly praying for that church and praying for that preacher. And nobody would even know how significant they are because they're not, like I said, they're not up here on the stage. They're not up here in the spotlight. But they are the ones that are keeping this church going. And a lot of times it's older people that's giving their money, giving their time, giving their talents. And we don't even know who they are. I have no idea over the years who's given what in my church because I don't want to know. That way when I get up to ready to part your hair with the Bible, I don't care if you give the most or don't give it all. I'm going to preach it the same. Yeah. Now, and I'll say this, I don't know, a lot of times we don't know who's doing the serving in a church. Because a lot of stuff's going on behind the scenes. I'll tell you, and I'm going to move on here in a minute, this next letter and this acrostic. I remember one morning a few years ago, I don't know how many years ago it was, I was going turkey hunting, and I got a late start, and it was cracking daylight, and I seen a fella in my church out there in the churchyard with the garbage, and I thought what had happened was the dogs had come through there and knocked the garbage over, because they do that down there, and we need a big dog killing in Luango, but I don't reckon it's ever going to happen, but a major dog killing in Luango. And they come through there, and they're knocking over people's garbage and everything. So I thought he'd just seen it, and he was there trying to fix it all up. So I turned my truck back around, and I turned around and said, "Hey, man, what's going on? The dogs getting in this garbage?" He said, "No, they didn't get in it." I said, "What you doing here, man? It's just a little bit after daylight." He said, "Well, the garbage runs every morning on this morning." I said, "Yeah, I know that." He said, "I just always come here every morning and pull that garbage out and pull it by the road." I never even known that he was doing it. Nobody in the church knew he was doing it. Matter of fact, I remember some conversations about our coming back and seeing the garbage out there, wondering how it got out there. Nobody knew that fella was doing it. You know what he was doing? Listen, this fella, he don't have any position in the church. He never did. And he don't have any preaching abilities or speaking abilities or anything like that. And he's real poor, doesn't have much money. But you know what he said? He said, "I'll tell you what I can do. I can go down there and pull that garbage out every morning so the garbage truck can pick it up when it comes once a week. And I can go back there now and pull them garbage pails back there behind the church." And he said, "What an insignificant thing." That's what you think. You think that because you listen to what man said. You think that because you're worried about what society says. You think that because you don't have enough humility that I will just be nothing more in a church than a garbage collector, and a garbage puller outer, or whatever you want to call it. You know, that's why you can't be a help. You know how a fella becomes a help? He collects the garbage. I was at a Pleasant Grove for 12 and a half years, and we built that church up. And the Lord done a mighty work down through there. And I was the preacher, the man of God, whatever that is. But I tell you what we do every time we have eaten, I'd go through there and grab them bags and hold them up and shake them up for them ladies that work in the kitchen so hard. And I'd help them put the garbage out, and I'd help them haul the garbage out. You say, "You the preacher? You got your hands in the garbage?" Yeah, and if you're a preacher and you don't think you're too good to put your hands in the garbage, you need to resign your church. You got no business preaching. Preachers are bad about that. Preachers want everybody else to sit down and listen to them, rake them over the coal, but they won't never go nowhere and let nobody preach to them. I try to go to as many revivals as I can. I try to get in as many services as I can because it's not right for me to come and preach to somebody else and tell them what they ought to do and point my finger at them like, you know, I do. And me not go somewhere every once in a while and let a fella rake me over the coals and say, "Okay, big boy, you think you're a preacher? You think you got everything right? You don't." And the Holy Ghost puts something on that man and he preaches to me and I have to crawl up to the altar. That's good. You don't have any business preaching to anybody else if nobody can't preach it. You don't have any business rebuking somebody else if you can't take a rebuke. You don't have any business being a leader if you can't be led. Quickly, let's go on. The gift of helps, H for humility, E for encourager. If you're going to have the gift of helps, you're a great encouragement. You can encourage the church and the pastor. It encourages the pastor to see folks show up here and work and help. It encourages, you know what encourages a pastor when he comes up on a thing and there's folks over here cooking and folks over here cleaning and folks over here stamping tracks and folks over here cleaning up and doing things? That is a great encouragement to a pastor. it's a great encouragement to see that people are doing things in the church. You cannot have functions going on in the church without everybody being involved. Now listen, why do you think it's so difficult to have vacation Bible school nowadays? Vacation Bible school is work. Vacation Bible school is tough. And by the time you get to Friday night when we used to have these week-long vacation Bible school, everybody was whipped and wore out. Now, I'm going to tell you why most churches don't have week-long vacation Bible schools now. A lot of them just went to 1 day or 2 days or 3 days or whatever. I'll tell you why. Because used to, recent as only 20 years ago, when vacation Bible school come along, people were so burdened and so concerned about these youngins in this community getting the gospel and getting some teaching that folks wanted to volunteer. But what has happened in our local churches now is that we just have such a small number that says, I'll work and be here at night, or I'll come here and do something, that it's too much, it's too strained. That's why all these churches are decreasing their vacation Bible school and going to a 1 day, 2 day, or 3 day. We ain't got enough people that'll show up and just be a help. The helpers are leaving our local churches. They're not helping. That discourages a pastor, and it discourages the people in the church that are trying to help. One of the best things you can do to be an encouragement to your pastor is just be available. You know, I think the greatest ability of all is availability, which is linked to dependability. And a fellow says, well, I can't even sing, and I can't carry a tune in a bucket, and when I sing, I sound like a mule deer grunting, and this person over here can sing real good, and this person over here can play. Hey, who cares how good you can play a piano if we can't depend on you to be here to play it? You'd be better off just being able to play chopsticks and show up every Sunday. Amen. Who cares about how good you can teach or how good you can preach if we don't? And folks say, well, this fellow's got a lot of money. Boy, he's got, who cares if you got millions of dollars? You need to be here to put it in the plate. See, there's a lot more important just to be here and be a help. And I tell you something else. You don't know what it does for the church for you just to be here and sit on a pew. You don't know what it does for a church, for a preacher, just to be able to see his people there. And he knows, and that preacher, I'm going to tell you something. It fires me up when I'm pastoring a local assembly. And I look out there, and I know this lady, man, she's been going through hell lately. And this fellow over here, he's hurting real bad, and he come on anyway. And this person over here, and I see them force themselves to come to church. It fires me up because I know it's much of a heavier burden for them to be here than for me. Nobody's going to jump on them if they don't show up. They will me. I mean, I pretty much need to be here. But they just do it. They're not getting anything out of it. They're not going to get a paycheck like me. They're not going to get any accolades or anything like that. They just come here because they believe it's the right thing to do. And they want to be a help and a participator in their local church. It's an encouragement. If you have the gift of helps and you're a helper around here, you will encourage the work of this church. You will encourage your pastor, and you will encourage others. I think of the third letter in the word helps, and that's L. And that's love. I think about love. Do you know the best way to show you love someone is to help them? Really, it is. This fella come out years ago with this, the five languages of love. Any of you ever heard that fella talk about that stuff? He says different people have languages of love. You know, some people, it's words of affirmation. Like, you're great, you're the best, you know, you're just a legend in your own mind, but no, anyway. Some people, that was funny, you could laugh about that. Hard crowd this morning. A language of love. Some people is words of affirmation. Some people is physical touch. You know, I just want to know that you love me, and I want you to dote on me, and I want you to hug me and affirm that you care about me by touching me and kissing me and telling me how handsome I am. And some people, it's like my wife, it's acts of service. She, you know, I can go in there and tell her how much I love her and hug and kiss on her, but if the grass needs to be cut, it ain't working. If she told me to do something during the day while she was at work and I didn't get it done, I can come in and say, oh, you're so beautiful, I love you, I'm so glad you're here, I want to spend time with you, blah, blah, blah. She's not worried about what I'm saying or what I'm doing. She's worried about that I didn't do the service. That's her language of love. You know, some of you women are smiling. That's your language too, ain't it? You know one of the best ways you can be a help to somebody? By loving them. You know how you love them? You be a help. You help them because you love them. You love them and you help them. That's how I show them a love. You show your love in the church by helping someone with a love offer. And I remember this preacher I went to school with one time. He was at a pretty rough church. I believe it was somewhere down toward Lockhart. Not Lockhart. The Hobos. Where did the Hobos? Laurel Hill. Yeah, Laurel Hill was somewhere down there. And he had a boy come up to him and say, "Brother Jeff, so-and-so's, we got this bad problem in the church, and they need a love offering." And he said he put his arm around this little boy and said, "Son, there ain't enough love in this church to take up a love offering for nobody." Amen. Unfortunately, that's the truth about a lot of churches. There's not enough love in that church to take up a love offering for nobody. But Christian love should be manifested in Christian service. Well, now, what do you think Miss Darby would think if I went up to her and said, "Darby, I sure do love you." Wow, slapped her. Then I said, "Oh, Darby, baby, I sure do love you so much." And boom. Now, first of all, that ain't going to happen one time with her. You know, I don't want to diverge from this, but these women that get abused, constantly get abused, they don't have what my wife's got in her. I'd whip my wife one time in life, and then that'd be it. The next thing you'd be doing is calling Norman to come get me. I guarantee you, my wife ain't going to let no man or nobody abuse her. She's got that German blood in her, and she's rough. I don't understand this. Well, you know, and then when you call the police to come there, they take the police side over. You know, I mean, they take the abuser side over to police. My wife wouldn't. When she called the police, she'd help me get them in the paddy wagon and get me gone and say, "Don't be coming back here no more." Amen. But what would it matter if I told my wife how much I loved her, and then, I hit her? I told her, words are cheap. And some of you ladies, you need to understand something, because sometimes you fall in that stuff. You say, "Well, my husband just don't communicate like he ought to, and I just wish he would just talk more to me. I wish he would." Let me tell you something. Words are overemphasized. He's a man. He's just not going to be very good at communicating, okay? I'm sorry. Ladies, if you have a man that loves you and is faithful to you and he wants to lead you and take you to church and be there for you and provide for you, then just calm down and just thank God for him. Don't worry that he don't just tell you he loves you every quaking minute. I'd be more concerned about, does that man show you that he loves you? He may be telling you he loves you walking through the front door while he's going to meet another lady walking out the back door. Amen. I'd rather him not tell me he loves me so much, but know I can trust where he is and what he's doing. Now, some of you men can just be like me. See, I just tell my wife I love her all the time, and I try to show her. Ain't that right? It's love. The best way that you can prove that you love somebody is by your action. I'll say this and move on to the next letter. You know what that thing is over in 1 Corinthians 13? People call it the love chapter, but the word love ain't in it unless you got a new version. If you've got a King James Bible, the word charity shows up all through that chapter. It's not love. And charity's the right word. It's not love. You say, why is charity the right word? What do you do when you do something for charity or a charitable organization? Are we going to have we're going to sponsor a charity? Are we going to do... It involves action. It's support. It's action. You're doing something. It's not, "I love you. Do you love me?" and all this Hollywood mess, and where it's an emotion and it's a feeling and I'm in a passion. Listen, emotions and feelings and passions will wane away. But what you do is how you show you love somebody. It's not what I say, and sometimes it's not what I feel, because I don't always feel like I'm supposed to. Love is a verb. Love is action. And that's why he uses that word charity in there, because when I think of charity, charity has nothing to do with me looking at the poor little homeless kids and feeling something. Charity has something to do with me doing something to help the poor little homeless kids. And so if I have real love like I'm supposed to, it's going to come out in something I do. Beware of anybody that talks about how much they love you, but they never show you. Beware of anybody that can write pretty little poetry and give you nice cards, "I love you, and I love you, and I love you," but then they don't show you with their actions. True charity, true love is help. I'm doing something. And then I think of the word P. and that's perception. And I tell you this, we ought to be looking for ways to be a help. Use your God-given abilities and talents to help someone else and help the cause of Christ. God's given you abilities and talents. Everybody in here, he's given ability and talents, and he didn't give you those abilities and talents just to make a living with it. He gave you those abilities and talents to be a help and a blessing to others. Let me give you an example. I heard about this church some years ago, and it's a real big church, and they had a lot of people in it, but they wanted to help folks. So what they would do is they'd take like one Saturday a month, one weekend a month, and they'd get all the mechanics in the church because it's a big church. They had several mechanics in it. And all the single women in the church, or the younger women, or maybe the women that had their husbands deployed in service, or they were working off, those women would come through there to that church, and the mechanics in that church would change their oil and do light mechanic work or whatever they could do to help those women, especially the single women that didn't have a husband and maybe had a limited income. And you say, what was that? That's a man that God had gifted with mechanical ability, and he made a living as a mechanic. But one weekend a month for free, he would take that ability and that talent God gave him to be a help to somebody else. Whatever God's gifted you with and gave you a talent, he wants you not just to make it. It's fine. Make a living with it. Make a good living with it. I really mean this. If you could handle it, I wish everybody in here, all of God's people, God would give you $1 million. I do. I wish you would. But he probably ain't going to do it because you can't handle it. There's nothing wrong with you having talents and abilities and money and God rewarding you with stuff. I believe God rewards his children a lot of times. I'm not preaching no charismatic stuff, but I do believe God rewards his children with some physical things from time to time for being faithful. I believe that. But, the talents and the ability that God gives us, we're not just to use it to stuff our face and to make money for ourselves. We're to use those abilities for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's like a fellow that's really gifted to play a piano, and he's in a honky-tonk on Friday and Saturday nights, and he's not at church. It's like a fellow that's really gifted to play the guitar, and he's going around making a living, but he's not in church doing it. There's people that maybe God's called to preach, and you know what they're doing? They're salesmen. They're not preaching behind a pulpit. They got the gift of gab. Maybe they're turning into some rock radio disc jockey or something. They can speak. They're great orators. They can hold the attention of the audience. And maybe God called them to preach. They're not even going soul winning. They're not knocking on any doors. They're using that to make money and to do what they want to do. And I want to encourage New Hope Baptist Church, however God's gifted you, if you want to be a help, take that gift and that ability God's given you and don't just earn money with it. Don't just please yourself with it. Do something that'll benefit the cause of Christ with it. That's what we ought to do. That's involved in the gift of helps. It's perception, but you got to be looking for it. You got to be looking, trying to find some way to use it. Ask the Lord to show you a way that you can be a help to your church and to the pastor. I think about Brother Russell Broussard as my associate pastor all those years down there at Pleasant Grove. And he'd usually call me on Monday, and we'd get together on Monday. Either he'd come over to my house or we'd talk on the phone about what we wanted to get done that week. But you know what he'd do? Not because he had to or I told him to. He'd call me about two or three times in the week, every week. And then two or three times he'd call me and just say, Pastor, I just wanted to call you and see if you need anything. Is there anything I need to go do for you? Anything you want me to check on? Anything you want me to do? That's all he would do. He just called me and says, any way I can help you? You know what he's trying to do? Just trying to be a help. But you know what he was doing? He's looking. See, Brother Russell's always been like that. He's always looking for some way he can help, looking for something he can do. He's looking for some way he can be a blessing. I'm not trying to be ugly here this morning, but half the people that come to our churches, they just come in and they just plop down. They're not looking for nothing. They're just like, all right, I'm going to check off my box for being at church today, so hurry up. Let's get this thing going. Come on now. We should have started 5 minutes ago. Come on, preacher, like some of you might be doing right now. Let's wrap this thing up. Let's go now. Let's go ahead and let's get our service going. Let's get our time put in. I got something in the oven. We got a meal today. It's Father's Day. What about your Heavenly Father? Not your earthly Father. What about your Heavenly Father? We come to church and we don't have any eyes looking to be a help. We come to church and say, what can I get? What can I get? What can I get? No, what can you give? A fella's going to have the gift of helps. A lady's going to have the gift of helps. She comes, he comes, and she's looking around. What can I do to be a blessing and a help in my local church, in my community? What can I do to be a blessing and help for others, and most of all, to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ? But you're not going to do anything until you're able to look for it and perceive it. I grew up with dogs. And if you go, any of you men coon hunting, or deer hunting, or rabbit hunting, and you got your dog out there, there's nothing like working with a dog, is there, Red? It's wonderful. I can understand people don't like hunting dogs, but my wife's one of them, so we'll go on moving, move quickly. But you know what you do? I used to hear that growing up. You have them dogs out there go, whoop, look, fart. You ever heard anybody say that? If you ain't never been out in the woods and heard somebody say to a dog, look for him, you miss life. What does he mean when he says that dog down there? Look for him. He's telling that dog, go find him. Dog, you've been gifted by God with a good nose. You've been trained. We got you out here to hunt, but you've got to go find what you need to be doing. You think somehow you're going to just come in here and sit down on the seat and everybody's just going to flock to you and all the troubles and problems are going to flock to you and say, this is what we want you to do. You got to be perceptive. A fellow that wants to help somebody, he's not just going to say, well, I'll sit over here and if somebody comes to me, I reckon I'll help them. But if nobody shows up, I reckon that means nobody need help. You don't have the gift of helps. A fellow's got the gift to help. Say, man, I get to go somewhere and be a help to somebody today, and I'm looking for it so I can be a help. All right, one more. S. S is for servant. A person who has the gift of helps is gifted to serve. He is a servant. Do you know who's the greatest example of a servant in your King James Bible? The Lord, well, he's the greatest example of a servant as a regular man, but the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He washed feet. You know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He served them at the communion, at the Lord's Supper. He served. He washed their feet. He worked. The greatest man that ever walked the face of earth was the greatest servant. I can't think of a greater man that was a help to the world than the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a great help. You know why? Because he was a great servant. Jesus Christ didn't walk around here and say, look, I've healed 10,000 of people. I've raised 2 or 3 folks from the dead. I'm the Messiah. I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. You know, when he come on the scene, that's why we're so messed up. If I was God and I was going to be born, I wouldn't be born like Jesus Christ. If I was going to come into the world, I'd say, well, I'm God, so I'm going to be born in a rich family. He was born in a very poor family. Bible says he was comely. He was not that great looking of a fellow. If I was going to pick any man I wanted to be, I'd pick somebody that's big and strong and tough and handsome and real, got an IQ of 180 and lots of money. That's not what Jesus Christ did. That's not how he showed up. He showed up as a very average looking man. He showed up as a poor man. He didn't show up with any kind of position or power. He showed up, you know why? Because he came to the world to help us. He came to help us. He didn't come to look pretty and everybody. He came to help us because he's a servant. God give us some servants in our local church. Jesus Christ is the greatest example of that. The church has to have great helpers. Now that's the gift of helps. The gift of helps takes humility. You're an encourager. You do it because you love people. You have your perception. You're looking for something, a way to help, and you're a servant. I want to ask you this. Do you think you might have the gift of helps this morning? Do you think you might desire the gift of helps this morning? Do you think the gift of helps is an important gift? Do you want the gift of helps? I think you should. You turn on that TV, and I'm going to tell you what you're going to get now. You know, come and be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Get the gift of tongues. Get the gift of prophecy. Get the gift of healing. Oh, won't you be a pastor, the pastor, the man of God? Won't you be a great teacher, a great Bible teacher? On and on and on and on and on. I tell you what you won't hear. You won't hear one charismatic teacher say one word about the gift of helps. Not one word will he say about the gift of helps. You'll never hear another sermon. Let me ask you something. How many of you can raise your hand and say, this is the first teaching or preaching, anything I've ever heard exclusively on that word, anybody ever preach or teach on the word helps? Anybody? Raise your hand. See there? like three-fourths of the congregation, you've never even heard a message on this because nobody cares about this. You're not in the limelight. You're not getting all the glory. You're not the big man. You're doing it behind the scenes. It takes humility. You don't seem to be significant. But I want to tell you something now, and I'm going to let you go. We've got plenty of time to go to the bathroom and all that stuff. You and I better leave here today and start looking at this thing like God looks at it. What we need to look at it is, what's not big in the eyes of man? What is big in the eyes of God? How does God look at the thing? You know, if some people cared half as much about what God thinks about them as they do what people think about them, there's no telling what we could do for Jesus Christ. And one day, I'm going to die. If either I'm going in the ground or the trumpet's going to sound, one or the other, and you're going to walk by there and people can look in the casket and they're going to say, well, I remember when Brother Dennis did this and poor old Brother Dennis and he's gone now. Some of you may be rejoicing. I don't know. And I remember this. You know what? And then you'll be telling stories. You'll be out there at the funeral home and everybody talking. But you know what's going to matter? It ain't going to matter what one person on this earth thought about me and said about me when they walked by me, good or bad. All that's going to matter is, okay, Lord, the Bible says every one of us shall give an account of himself to you, and I'm going to stand before God. And in that day, none of you, what you think about me one way or the other, will matter at all. And I think one of the important things that'll matter when I stand before the Lord that day is, was I a help? I don't think it'll matter near as much how good of a preacher I was and how big my church was, how many gifts I had, how many people liked me or didn't like me.